The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. We get tweets. Actually, let me just read this tweet. This is from Sam Cooper. This is not at us, but this is Sam Cooper tweeting from Yahoo. He covers college football for Yahoo. We were talking about Mike Leach earlier, in case you missed it, the passing of Mike Leach this morning at the age of 61. He said, my favorite thing Mike Leach did at Washington State was choose Jamal Morrow to be team captain solely based on his performance on The Price is Right. That's the kind of stuff we will miss Mike Leach for, just a litany of quirky things that he did over the years that just made him such a colorful character and made college football that much better. So again, Mike Leach passing away at the age of 61. We do get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Blue Hen Bill. Blue Hen Bill, Kelly. On a different note, I watched Manning football last night. By the way, the Peyton Eli thing just fell off a cliff for me. Like, I'm not even aware when they're on it. I don't even think about it. Last year, I was all over it.
Well, we were doing primetime action, and we felt so left out.
Yes, we did.
That people got to watch Peyton and Eli, and then, okay.
And then we wanted to talk about it.
There's no way to really put this nicely, so I feel like I'll just say it.
Yeah.
This year was my first time in a couple years, not during football season, right? We were on primetime action every night, actually able to watch Monday Night Football. So I would put on Peyton and Eli for a bit, and then I'm like, okay, this is late. After a couple episodes, I just want to hear the game broadcast.
Blue Hen Bill.
The interviews are great.
Yeah, Blue Hen Bill says, he goes, I watched it last night because the game was dull. He says, Eli for sure is the Zeppo Marks of the family, low entertainment at best. Bring on Cooper. He wants Cooper Manning on there as well. Oh, I said this the other
That'd
day.
Okay, give a shot.
Remember how, I keep, you know, on guessing lines, I take all these notes, intricate notes of every game because I want to get to this point and that point and the other point. And then so I get the broadcast notes in my head. I don't put down on paper and then or on the computer, I just say paper, like I'm writing it, hand, you know, shorthand. And I remembered that thing about Scott Hansen on Red Zone. I was like, oh, he really loves saying Duval County.
Yeah.
I finally remembered to say that. And like now every time he says Duval County, I get at least five tweets up, Duval County. You know what has become, I've been meaning to say this, you know what has become the creepiest, cringiest, most awkward 3 seconds of NFL broadcast media every week? Do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
Sunday Night Football. Work with me here. Sunday Night Football, late second quarter, the cut-in to Maria Taylor, Coach Tony Dungy, and Jason Garrett in the studio promoing what's coming up at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this really awkward exchange where Maria Taylor says a few words, and then Tony Dungy, looking at her, back at her, says...
Who's a foot taller.
He says, another Philly blowout. And then she looks over at Jason Garrett with a big smile, and, you know, and then Tony Dungy turns to the camera. Then she looks at Jason Garrett with a big smile, and he says something like, and the Cowboys escape... And then he doesn't turn to the camera quick enough. And so he's like gazing at Maria with this horrible lingering smile. And it, like, I could feel Maria being like, look away. Look at the camera.
She's
back at you, Mike. It was just it is worth watching just for those moments.
Okay, I got a couple things to say about that. I guess since you're talking about it already. I don't know if you caught Tirico's toss to that this week where it was, I think everybody's going to be surprised in studio by this halftime result because everybody had picked the Dolphins, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So that was hilarious. Maria Taylor is fantastic. Those two other duds, though, oh, man. And I mean duds, not dudes. It is the personality lacking is just incredible.
And the Cowboys escape. I'm like, stop looking at her.
I love Tony Dungy, but if you told me both those dudes were robots right now, I believe
God.
You.
This is from D-Gen Southern Gent. When you mentioned to Whale Capper, Drew Dinsick, that the NFL is giving away money on Saturday, I pictured Roger Goodell in his basement with Kelly's money shooter taking selfies and filming reels for the gram with his boy Russell Wilson.
Yeah, no.
Had a whole image.
But more like Roger Goodell's using the money gun to build him a pool of money. Who is that duck who used to dive in the money? Sean and Jeff, no help. You know what I'm talking about. You dive in the gold coins.
Sure. I know what you're
talking
about.
You know what I'm
image.
Talking about. Yeah. Not Daffy. One of those ducks.
One of those ducks. Oh, I used to know the name of that duck. Chris Heath. What side of the Kings Sixers was Drew on? We'll get that in the newsletter. What would you remember what Drew was on?
Scrooge McDuck.
That wasn't it.
That wasn't it?
No, not to me anyway. Chris Heath, what side of the Kings Sixers was Drew on?
Sixers.
And this is a great point from Not Giamatti, John Coyne. He says, good luck to Drew or anyone trying to make NBA bets early in the day. Out of nowhere last night, an hour before the game, the Grizzlies announced Ja Morant was out with thigh soreness. Thigh soreness? Does the NBA consider Advil a PED?
Yeah, I mean, they chose to rest him after Atlanta rested their entire starting lineup. Look, it's something that you definitely gamble on when you're betting NBA day to day, like Drew and I are. You got to choose what you're going to bet, on openers, and hopefully lines don't get too far away from you. Or you got to choose either that path or if you're waiting on injury news. But if it's major injury news, yes, you cannot make bets the night before. That game was just everybody expected Atlanta players to be out. They ended up being out, so Memphis was like, well, why the heck are we going to play Morant right now when we can win this game without him?
You brought up Atlanta for a second right before we get to Paul Carr here and his World Cup thoughts. Shams Charania, who Kay Adams decided to shoot her shot at some weeks ago. We'll get the update on that. Mentioned the Nets as one of four teams in contact with the Hawks surrounding forward John Collins. GM Sean Marks appears to be dangling sharpshooter Joe Harris in negotiations.
Yeah, there's a lot of Atlanta rumors going on right now. There's a lot of Lakers rumors going on right now. I think that Atlanta and Brooklyn won. I know they are Eastern Conference teams both that think they have shots at long ways into the playoffs. I think that trade makes a lot of sense for both teams around those two pieces, and they should work something out there.
John Collins, man, when he was here at Summer League, oh, was he good.
I covered him when he was playing high school basketball.
Thought he was going to be spectacular. Paul Carr joins us, ladies and gentlemen, from True Media Networks and, of course, the Expected Value podcast. Good morning to you, Paul.
Morning. I also love me a good awkward studio segment, having done hundreds and hundreds of studio shows. Yeah, it cracks me up. I yell every time it happens on Sunday.
I just die laughing. Okay, before we talk about your World Cup thoughts today, real quick, because you're a Dolphins fan, we broached this subject on guessing lines yesterday. The Dolphins won't have to make a decision on Tua this year, but they will after next season. What do you do if you're the Dolphins right now? What is your stance on that? Long-term, huge deal, kick the can down the street by doing it year to year like Washington did with Kirk Cousins? What are you doing?
I mean, I like the Cousins idea better than committing to a kind of brittle guy who you're not 100% sure is the man long term. It's so awkward because you have these two extremes of options of, you know, basically cutting him loose or giving him $1 billion. And neither one seems like the right play, especially given that your alternative is basically, you know, try another rookie or bring in some guy off the heap. So the year-to-year thing seems like the best option to me right now. If he holds up for a season and is decent next year, then I'll reconsider.
No, sounds sensible to me at this point. All right,
yeah.
World Cup semis upon us. 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, pardon me, today, between Croatia and Argentina. How are you playing this, sir?
This is a weird one in the sense that I think Argentina is the best team left. Their defense has been really good. They haven't given up more than 6 shots in a game. But I don't think there's much value on Argentina to advance at -250. You know, that's got to hit 70% plus of the time. And even their win in regulation at -115, I think, is slim at best. And Croatia is Croatia. We've seen the blueprint against Brazil. They keep it tight. You know, they're not a low block defensive team where they just set up at the top of the 18 and make you do something. Like, they have the ball half the time, like they did against Brazil. They're just very careful and deliberate with it and kind of strangle the life out of the game and reduce opportunities on both sides and hope to scratch through on penalties, because Croatia always does. So I think the value, if anything, is on Croatia. I played them to advance at +250 pretty much as soon as the line came out over the weekend. It's down around +200 now. I think that's too low. If you can get right +220, that's about as far down as I would go for them to advance. It's kind of a hedge for me with Argentina. I have an Argentina future that's still out there. So I lean towards Croatia given the prices, even though I think Argentina is the better team and more likely to advance.
It sounds like you don't hate me playing a draw in this first half and full time either.
No, I think you're probably getting +225, something in that range on that. I think that's that's pretty decent too. First half or the whole game, really, given the prices.
Okay, what about tomorrow? Morocco, everybody's favorite. Morocco against France, the prohibitive favorite now to win this. Well, Argentina's pretty close to them, but France is the favorite. What do you think? Yep.
In some ways, this is similar to the first semifinal, I think, because you have a clear underdog. I think the value is on the underdog. This game will play out a little differently, though, because France is going to have a lot more of the ball here. They'll probably outshoot Morocco at least 2-1. And Morocco will just want to do what they've done, get those 2-3 really good opportunities on the counterattack, try to capitalize on at least one of them. There are questions about Morocco's back line. They have two, maybe three starters who won't be playing in this game, or who may not be playing. Their injury status is a little unknown. But two of those guys didn't play in the quarterfinals, and they looked okay. So I'm on the Morocco train, given the value here, plus 330 to advance or so. That's what I played it at. You can still find prices in that range out there I think are good. Again, the price on the draw I think is pretty decent too, plus 285-ish. If your advance line is a lot lower, the draw I think is a pretty decent option, kind of making that trade there. So again, France is the better team, more likely to advance. But given these prices, does Morocco have a 1-4 shot at going through? I sure think they do.
What would a Croatia-Morocco exacta have given you? Or not exacta, but just meeting up in the finals. What price would that have been?
I mean, Croatia to win the title is like 50-1, I think, beforehand. So you assume it was, 100-1 for them, and Morocco had to be at least that. So a lot of cash.
A lot. The answer is a lot of cash. Croatia going to Croatia. Let's hope that happens today, man, for both of our bets. Appreciate it.
All right, should be fun.
Paul Carr, everybody. Kind enough to join us not only during the Premier League season, but also during the World Cup. Coming back, our NFL power rankings. Oh, this ought to be interesting. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, Sean McCollum, who works behind the glass here doing audio for us. No relation to CJ McCollum, by the way.
No relation. I can confirm that.
Maybe. We'll do a little DNA test on that. We'll see what happens. But he was reminding me this weekend, for those who are betting college basketball, those who have their ear to the ground in the sports betting community. Do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
Indiana was playing Arizona up here. You still don't know where I'm going?
No.
So this information, by the way, it was like spreading like wildfire that Arizona was going to have like half of its team out with strep.
And so this was last night, right?
This was Saturday. Saturday? Oh. I believe it was Saturday, yeah.
Did they play last night too, or was it Arizona State?
I was watching the Creighton game.
Okay.
Yeah. Creighton, by the way, losing. They didn't have their one of their great players in either. But the Arizona-Indiana thing was, all this information came down, half the team isn't going to play for Arizona, so everybody started betting Indiana. Whole team played.
Yikes.
Just one of those, again, bad information in sports betting. Everybody acting on it.
I don't even know what to say about that, because I'm not going to sit here and say I haven't. I mean, I act on information all the time, right?
Sure. We all do.
You just need to be careful where it's coming from.
Just need to be careful. Just need to be careful. But it wasn't from one source. It was like everybody had the same story going.
But, that's why you need to follow people on Twitter with a blue check mark, Gil, so you're really, never mind. That doesn't matter anymore.
That's right. People purchasing their blue check marks. I told you my international social media struggle with Jillian Alexander.
I had no idea.
She bought herself a blue check mark.
I had no idea about this great struggle yesterday.
No, I'm just kidding. She's a lovely woman. We had tweets at Benny the Book. Jason H11 sending me video from Jason Garrett and Maria Taylor. I got it wrong. It's not that he stares at her too long afterwards. It's that he's staring at her too long before. So while Dungy is doing his 3 seconds, Garrett is staring behind himself at Maria when he should be looking at the camera. That's the problem. Glad we sussed that out. Toes in the sand. Gil, I totally thought that the clapper was looking suspiciously creepy as well.
You're just supposed to look natural. So, look natural. Know, when someone's talking, you look a little bit at them, and then you look a little bit ahead to the camera.
You can see them.
About Sean, I look this way, and then I look at you.
You can see the back of his head. He's smiling at Maria, and you can tell Maria's like, oh, look. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL Power Rankings. Plug it in.
Plug it in. Power it up. Power Rankings brought to you by insert sponsor here.
Sponsored by no one. All right, Power Rankings, which has been, again, pretty fascinating this year in the NFL. Just as a sort of framework and outline to sort of help with your handicap and give you a broader picture. And this is how all lines are created with bookmakers, Power Rankings. That's how they start. A starting place, as Chrissy says on Guessing Lines. Not a lot of movement, but some movement. Chiefs remain my number one, even though they had much more difficulty hanging with the Broncos, or I said getting rid of the Broncos, I should say. Eagles move up to number two there, Kelly. I can't deny them anymore. They're at two. Bills go to three. The Bills are a little, like, there's a little bit about the Bills when you watch them now. You're like, are they really this awesome? A little shaky on offense.
I think that the, and I know you're about to get the Bengals number four, sorry. But I think the top four teams to me is pretty clear right now, those four.
Bengals.
I don't know who's the best, though. I think you could make an argument for any of the four teams. I kind of brought that up yesterday when we were doing Guessing Lines. I think there's a little bit of concern for me on the Chiefs defensively. I think that team's really good, and we'll get to mine. I still have them at the top two, but I think all those teams, those four teams are clearly the four best to me, and I think they are in a little bit of separate tier. But they each still have their flaws.
For sure. But the Bengals creep up to number four. Niners, who have the quarterback situation, let's call it. And again, we don't know if it's Brock Purdy on Thursday or not against the Seahawks now.
Yep.
Purdy has done everything he could possibly have done or that they could possibly expected from him. Niners are number five to me. I still think they're the Eagles' kryptonite in the postseason. Cowboys are at six. They fall to six after a shaky performance against Houston. This is the thing. The left side of the column versus the right side of the column for me could be loosely defined as teams I generally trust and teams I generally don't. So once you start with the Cowboys, like I don't trust that team at all.
Okay, I don't either, but okay, of the list, where does your list stop of these teams could win a Super Bowl?
Oh, it stops at five.
Stops at five?
Yes.
Okay, see, that's why I wanted to ask you that, because I think I would still include the Cowboys.
Their defensive front is still the best unit of any team in the world, but it's the rest of them are shaky to me.
Those six teams, to me, have a chance. I think beyond that is where I don't really know if I buy them having a chance.
I mean, Dolphins seven, they could be headed for a swoon here. Ravens eight. The Ravens just remain because they figure out a way to win, as shaky as they are from week to week. I've said shaky about 10 times in this segment. Chargers back in at number nine. I'm sorry, when they're clicking,
yep,
because there's really not that many other options, the Chargers get in there. And the Jets remain 10, even though they lose to the Bills. The team that got purged for me here was the Minnesota Vikings, finally leaving the top 10. What you got?
Yeah, whatever, hater. That's okay. mine, Chiefs 1, Bills 2, Eagles 3, Bengals 4, no movement there. I left as is for now, Gil. I can understand why you put Eagles in front of the Bills. I think you could do that right now. Again, to me, I think that you could make the argument that any one of these four teams could be number one, and I'd be okay with that. I think this Bengals team is clicking right at the right time for them. I think their defense is underrated. Offensively, with the weapons they have, you can make the argument they might be the best unit, offensive unit in the league. They're right there. 49ers, you can't deny what this team can do defensively. That is, at this point, undeniable in the season. The Debo loss is big, but we get positive news on that last night, where it looks like he's not even going to be out for the entirety of the regular season. I think as long as they have that full collection of weapons, and that includes Debo. You got to have Debo, you got to have Kittle, you got to have McCaffrey. If they have that, this team has a chance no matter who's playing quarterback. I do believe that. I think that's going to become a lot more difficult. Obviously, we get late into the playoffs and who they're playing. But in the NFC, I think they got a shot. no matter who's really back there at the quarterback position. Cowboys, I got six. Like I said, I still think there's a chance this team makes a deep run into the playoffs and have a caliber to win a Super Bowl. I do believe that. After that, I think that's where we separate the teams. Vikings, I still have seven. I'm not going to take away completely from what they've done this year. After that Lions loss, yeah, I think the Lions hitting their stride at the right time. Notice that neither one of us had the Lions in our top 10. It's not like they cracked
where,
it.
Where
at all.
Do you have the Lions?
I don't know. They're probably 12, 13, something like that. Because you had the Jets, right? Jets,
yes.
10. Mm. Jets, I battled back and forth. Where to slot the Chargers, Dolphins, Ravens, Jets? That was tough for me. I put the Chargers A. They come up all the way from not ranked to 8 for me. Look, these two wide receivers are back. I know you've heard me say it a million times, heard other people say it a million times. This team is different when Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are on the field together, and we have seen so little of that the past couple years. Herbert was amazing on Sunday night with both those guys on the field. I have them 8. They could probably even be higher by the time all this is said and done. Dolphins 9, like Chris and I were talking about yesterday, I think there's something up with Tua. I don't know what's going on with him, but this team has looked very, very different the past couple weeks, and I know it's against two good teams in the Chargers and the Niners, but this is not the same Dolphins offense that we've seen rolling all year. And if their offense isn't striking big with these big plays, this team really sinks back more into that mediocre level. So I got them 9. Ravens at 10. I almost consider dropping them out and leaving the Jets at 10. I understand what you're saying. They kind of keep fighting and getting wins home, so it's hard for me to take them out completely, especially when we know Lamar's going to be back at some point. But they're not a team I trust at all to make a run in the playoffs. The AFC is too stacked. They are too far down. I think the Bengals are a better team than them. Ravens still probably escape with the AFC North title, but just because that schedule's so easy. But, yeah, I got them 10, but I think it's Jets 11 for me.
So here's the difference. You have the Vikings and I don't.
Yep.
I have 3 NFC teams in my top 10. And this is kind of the point of this exercise, to try to, give you a macro viewpoint, a helicopter view of how you feel about these teams. I legitimately feel, this is why I asked the question on guessing lines yesterday, are the Detroit Lions the 4th best team in the NFC? And I think the answer is yes. And I think that that's the thing that is most fascinating about all of this. That team that's 6-7, right now, if they played the Bucs on a neutral, if they played the Vikings on a neutral, what would that number be? And I think the Lions might get the nod on both of those. They certainly would against the Bucs, I think.
Well, you would against the Vikings.
On a neutral.
After what we saw last week, yeah.
Yeah, I think you would get a tick above. We'll come back. Pete Futak, College Football Bowl thoughts next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN is the gift that keeps on giving. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. Get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today and you also receive $20 to buy VSiN Sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving for every game. Deep dive betting reports, plus our ongoing college bowl coverage with best bets on every bowl game. It's a limited time offer, though, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at vsin.com/subscribe. We got tweets. That beat of the book. Always appreciated. By the way, a groundswell for our buddy Dan Bespris. That is totally my fault that we haven't had Dan Bespris on this year. What is wrong with me? Talk NBA with us.
I don't know, man. Yeah, we got to get him on.
The greatest,
talking about that during the break.
The greatest audio in the game. Dan Bespris, we'll get him on. This is from Coom Knows. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He says, I would let Tua go. Speaking of the Tua Tagovailoa matter and the contract. He says, I'd let Tua go. Too many cons over pros. He's been injury prone since his days at Alabama and early NFL career. He has a noodle arm. A ton of his passes are short, but Tyreek makes his passes look good. Can he play in the cold? Only pro is accuracy. Yeah, we covered, again, the Ryan Fitzpatrick comment about him to me is still the best. Not fast, not elusive, not a strong arm, not big. So he's got to be elite in accuracy. And in accuracy, typically, not this past week, but typically he is very, very good. And for those who question that and say, oh, it's all Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle, it's not true. The first 2 years of his career, he had the least separation overall advanced metrics, his receivers from their defenders. So he actually was really accurate the first couple seasons in this league. And so that gets lost in the shuffle with him.
It does. It does.
This is one, before we get to Futek, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Nevadazer, sort of a combination of a Nevada and razor, Nevadazer. He says, hey, Gil, now we have to take his word for it here, Kelly. He says, I have one of those Croatia-Morocco exactas. I don't know if he means exact or just a matchup. You know what he says his number is? 125-1. Shouldn't it be higher than that?
I would think so.
I think you got a bad number, man.
Wasn't it like 100-1 on Morocco just to win it?
125-1. You're getting that was a terrible number. That's what maybe he didn't get it preflop. Maybe he got it at some point.
That
could be.
That would make sense.
That would make sense. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman tries to make sense every time he's on the show. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. It's hit or miss. It's Pete Futek, everybody, from College Football News. How you doing, Peter?
Oh, I make sense. Nobody just likes it. By the way, I think it's Nevada, Zer.
No, it's not. This is your first. Literally, we're 5 seconds in, and you've already said something incorrect. It's Nevada. That's how they pronounce it here.
No, it is Nevada, but he pronounces it Nevada. See, he's different. Nevada, Zer. He's different that way.
Oh, you know him?
Of course. Who doesn't know him? He's the best.
This guy. Peter, we haven't gotten a chance. We talked about the playoff last time. First of all, great to see you as always. Yes. We talked about the playoff. We didn't talk about the bowls themselves. First of all, Army-Navy catching overtime and going over was a real kick in the butt for under players.
It's still, 2017 was the final? Like they had to work for that. That's one of those you tip your cap and you go on about your day because you did it the right way. You went under. Everyone did. It's what you're supposed to do with that. So not your fault.
How about Navy deciding to make a coaching move right after that? What was that?
Like, I don't think Ken – and actually the weird part about it is not only did they fire Niumatalolo, but they did it, like, right after the game.
Yeah, he's in the locker room.
Like, yeah. And then they tweeted out this thing to the Navy coaching GOAT, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, that was
like,
nice.
Good guy, great coach, but, like, hey, you can't lose. You know, they were supposed to win that. You can't lose to Army. You can't do that. But, all right, let's see what they go from here.
That's a good reaction. All right. Two bowl games begin on Friday, 6 on Saturday. What do you like best among that group?
All right, to start, the problem with all this is, again, like I mentioned to you last time, it's like we're betting on the NFL preseason at this point because there's so many variables. There's so many opt-outs, so many weird coaching changes. Like the Fenway Bowl doesn't have a coach. You know, the quarterbacks left and right, there are guys who would. So you try to find some normalcy where possible. And your Duluth Trading Cure Bowl is about as representative of a very good regular season game as it's going to get because Troy and UTSA loses its offensive coordinator, but that's about it. The teams are relatively intact. To the only game matching conference champions. I like UTSA in this close, but this, unlike Navy and Army, is supposed to go over, and it will. These two offenses are – the UTSA offense is unstoppable. Troy's has been better. UTSA doesn't play any defense. I like Troy – I'm sorry, I like UTSA and the over in that.
Okay, and to those – Las Vegas Bowl, by the way, here on Saturday. To those who say, okay, well, I love that, you know, Anthony Richardson's not playing – for Florida, I love Oregon State, but now it's 10.5. You would tell them to, you know, that ship has sailed from port already?
Yeah, a little bit. I would almost say kind of like the same theory that I kind of subscribe to where, look, it's the NFL. If you're giving me double digit points that, you know, if you're giving me the Houston Texans in 17.5, of course Dallas should destroy them. But in general, those double digit underdogs are going to win. Same with this. Those are still very, very, very talented guys on the Florida side where, of course, Oregon State should win. Of course, not having Richardson matters, but they still have enough parts there. They didn't have a mass exodus of players leaving yet from Florida like, say, LSU last year against Kansas State. So I still give me the points in that and give me the SEC team that's getting double-digit points.
It's interesting with him, too, just sort of thinking out loud now, projecting him forward to the next level. Dr. Bob, who does analytics for college football, considers him to be the player that causes the most volatile outcomes in all of college football. Like, he can't really quantify him as a player. I'm curious what you think about him as the next level. What's the comp?
Yeah, Cam Newton? I'll take that to the next level because you're right. That's the NFL draft. He's the guy that, you know, this is a quarterback deep draft. There are at least 10 guys that out of this draft that probably could end up starting, you wouldn't be upset with. And there are at least 6 guys who could go in the top 10. They're that good. I equate more to Josh Allen in terms of Cam Newton you knew what you were getting with Cam Newton. He was one of those guys who could do everything. You knew if you put him in the right offense, he'd be a high octane passing quarterback. You knew he could run. You knew he was just this elite guy. I equate him more to Josh Allen, because remember, while it seems so obvious now that you take Josh Allen over Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
It wasn't then.
It wasn't then, because you're talking about a guy who was an inconsistent 50-something percent passer at Wyoming who just could not seem to find any consistency within the Mountain West, much less against he didn't exactly rock the better teams, and he didn't run like he does now at Buffalo. Meanwhile, Anthony Richardson, roughly the same size, same arm, great runner. To me, he's the wild card, where obviously Will Levis is, you kind of know what you're going to get, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, but he's the guy who's probably going to go 10th to 15th, and everyone's going to go, that's the way. I don't know, but you might have hit the home run on him.
McShay had his first mock draft out this morning, had him 11th overall.
11th probably overall. Right. Interesting.
Fourth quarterback to go, but 11th overall.
Fourth quarterback. Wow.
Young won, and then it was
Levis?
No, Levis was third and Stroud second.
Yeah, what's going to be interesting about this process is going to be there's going to be like side-by-side comps in every way between Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson. Bryce Young is, compared to Richardson, he's like such a small guy. I mean, I agree. He's the smart – Bryce Young's, you know, like Jason Bourne, where he sees everything, you know, straight forward. That guy's the smartest guy in the field always with that arm. But Richardson – You can't pass on him, but at the same time, there's a lot of high risk, high reward there.
That is going to be one of the more awesome NFL drafts of all time. And thank God we live in a state, Kelly, where we can bet it plentiful.
Let's go.
Oh, wait a minute.
But to your point, yes, Florida is absolutely volatile. But Oregon State, they flopped last year in its bowl game against Utah State. They're going to be far better. That's a sound team. Oregon State should win this.
What's your favorite bowl bet through Monday, since we'll have you back in a week?
All right, it's slightly off the grid, but it's happening this weekend. I'm not so sure that the fighting, you know, Coach Primes of Jackson State aren't going to be in for a little bit of a fight. Remember they got rocked last year. Look, here comes Jackson State in this thing. And South Carolina State came in and said, you know what, we play on this side too. And they just came out and rocked them. I am not going to be so if it's 16.5, again, massive spread. North Carolina Central has a high-octane offense with a lot of good offensive playmakers and just enough where that's a lot of points to be given away to a coach and a team. So as much as they want to stay there focused and want to win this and want to put on a show and do everything and end this thing right, I think they win, but they're in Colorado at this point. So I kind of think this North Carolina Central team might keep this a little bit closer.
I like that thought.
And over, by the way. Way over on the 56, by the way, on that.
Real quick, because we'll have you back before this game actually happens. But Grayson McCall at Coastal Carolina, is your instinct that he does end up playing or does not in the end?
Oh, I would think he doesn't. I mean, as is, he was kind of hurt. But right now, he's a big enough prime quarterback where he can go just about anywhere. I would doubt that he plays. Even so, I would go the other way against Coastal Carolina anyway.
Yeah.
East Carolina in this.
Because, it was the fine print yesterday that said he's still playing. I can't believe that. But we'll see.
East doesn't matter. Go East Carolina anyway.
Go East Carolina either way. All right, Peter. We'll talk to you next week.
Later, guys.
Beat Futak at Pete, FIUTAK on Twitter. CollegeFootballNews.com. Kelly and I look at some NFL divisions next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM MGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We appreciate BetMGM for being a longtime sponsor of this here show. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, Nevada-azer, or as Pete likes to say, Nevada-azer. He was joking, right, wasn't he, Kelly? Yeah?
Yes.
Is that what you guys telling me?
I'm pretty sure he was messing with you. Yeah.
I thought it was completely serious.
Otherwise, Matt Humans would like to have a word with
Yes, he would. So would Chrissy Andrews. Chrissy once told me I was like 2 years in. He's like, you know, you should probably know by now. It's Nevada.
One of my favorite Matt Human stories ever. I've told it to his face before, so I don't mind talking about this. It was the first show I ever did here, I think, and it was with Matt. And I said Nevada during a break or something, and he was on me right away. It was, Kelly, it's Nevada. I was like, what? And he's like, you're pronouncing it wrong. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, he clarifies. He says he did get that ticket, that 150-1. He said he did get it late, December 6th. So that would make sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would make sense. Okay.
Good. I like the bet.
I'm rooting for you.
Something fun to root for, that's for sure.
I am rooting for you, man. I hope it gets there. I got the draw again today, first half and full time. And then I hope Croatia advances. We'll see. Against Argentina, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. All right, let's talk some NFL divisions. Tomorrow on the show, I should mention, Joe Pita joins us. Talk survivor hedging strategy. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Bidlin, the hardest pounder of a keyboard that you will ever run into in your life. As I'm talking about
Bill
guests.
Bill Andy needs my help, okay?
Listen, as I'm talking about who's going to be on the show this week, all I hear in the background is just this pounding of a keyboard. Kelly Bidlin writing angry emails, even if they're nice. They're all angry.
Yeah, I was trying to help out.
This has always plagued you?
This has always plagued me. Yeah. You have really become... You didn't seem to notice this on Primetime Action. You have picked up on it big time since I've moved to a numbers game, though.
Man, he must be really angry.
Yeah. Yes, I type... With some
spirit.
Gusto, okay? With some spirit. I've told you this story before, though. I was working. Yeah, I used to produce sports for local news down in Florida. Okay, that was part of what I did down in Florida before coming out here to work at VSiN. And we would sit. You know, you had these little like cubicles, these desks set up, and out in the newsroom. And I had a news producer that would sit next to me. And you know, I would jump back and forth between working at this desk and the sports office, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we would work side by side for about a year. She didn't say anything for a year. And then one day, I'm in the middle of typing up some story or something like that, and she loses it. She goes, do you have to type so hard? I can't concentrate over here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, whoa, what just happened?
I've never met her, but she is 100% right.
I'm like, you've been holding that in for a while, okay?
It's on to you.
I'm like, well, you can just tell me if you have a problem. Like, I can go work over there. It's really not that big of a deal.
Anyway, we got Joe Pita on the show tomorrow to talk survivor hedging strategy. Looking forward to that. 30 left in Circus Survivor. Somebody had the Cardinals last night, Kelly. Ooh.
Well, it was one of the cards, one of the Pats, right?
One of them cards, one of them Pats. 30 left. At this point last year, do you remember how many were left in Circus Survivor?
No.
28. There was actually two fewer, if I'm not mistaken. There was 28 left right after Thanksgiving. So the trajectory of this Survivor, again, 7 weeks of carnage, followed by 7 weeks of virtually nobody getting knocked out. I know there were 55 knocked out, but you get it. From 6,133 to 125 in 7 weeks, and then from 125 to 70. In 7 weeks, followed by this carnage of this last week down to 30. So we'll talk that with Joe Pita and see who else we can coax in studio here the rest of the week. All right, AFC South, let's start there. We got three divisions that you might find some interesting numbers. Titans have a two-game lead over the Jaguars, or as Dr. Bob said the other day, the Jaguars, Kelly. Didn't peg him as a Jaguar guy.
I didn't catch that, actually.
Titans minus 600. The Jaguars are plus 450. For some reason, we are showing the Colts, who are 2.5 games out with 4 games remaining, mathematically alive. They're at 40-1. You want to take a flyer on the Jags here?
I think these are all these divisions we're going to run through. I don't know how many betting opportunities there are, but it is interesting how tight they are. I know there's a lot of people in love with the Jaguars right now. And seemingly a lot of people that don't believe in the Titans, and which I understand.
But here's the thing. Jags remaining games. Home Dallas, at the Jets, at Houston, home Tennessee. So could be decided on that last week of the season.
And obviously they got one win against them already.
And they already have the win from this past week. So if they're one back headed into that final game, they can win the division on a tiebreaker. So that's kind of interesting because I'm taking the Jags plus the points this week. I would not be shocked if they had the outright win over the Cowboys. Meanwhile, as the great Ron Flatter used to say.
Yeah, you got Titans at Chargers, then Texans at Titans, Cowboys at Titans, then Titans at Jags.
So, I mean, very similar, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's tempting, man.
I mean, that could be three L's for the Titans.
That is very tempting on the Jaguars.
I mean, it could be two losses of those first three games, and then you got to face the Jags.
For giggles, here's the Colts.
I'd want more than plus 450, though, Gil.
Here's the Colts at Minnesota, home Chargers at Giants, home Houston. No.
Yeah, they done.
They done. They gone. All right, let's go to the AFC North.
This one is fascinating to me and kind of frustrates me a little bit because I think the Bengals are a much better team right now, but
they sure
these
are.
Schedules are so different down
still,
the stretch.
Still, do you believe that?
Yes, I still believe that.
You don't have to be angry about
it. There's a part of me though that there's a part of me though that believes that I should be betting. I already bet the I did bet the Bengals. We talked about that guessing lines a little bit yesterday. Gil, I did last night. I bet the Bengals. I bought the hook and just laid the three against the Bucks. So if I'm betting them this week, there is a part of me that feels like I should be taking them in this division race.
I do too.
Ravens remaining schedule at the Browns, Falcons at home, Steelers at home, and then you finish off the year with Ravens and Bengals.
Right. And the Ravens and Bengals, the Ravens already won the first game.
Yeah.
And the Bengals' remaining schedule at Tampa, at New England, home Buffalo, home Baltimore. Yeah, I mean, it's probably priced accurately.
I think it's priced accurately.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's a shame because right now, I don't even think these two teams are close to each other.
I don't either.
And yes, I'm including Lamar's injury.
But the Ravens have, I mean, just think about this last stretch of games. They beat the Steelers by 7 at Pittsburgh. They beat the Titans by 4. They beat the Chiefs by 3, right? That was the outlier. And then they beat the Browns this past... Oh, that's the Bengals. I'm sorry. We're talking about the Bengals. Let's go to the Ravens for a second. The Ravens just squeaking by in these games and figuring out a way. Again, they beat the Panthers by 10. This is after their bye. They lost the Jags, remember my point. Then they beat the Broncos by 1 and the Steelers by 2. So they are just on thin ice getting by. But they figure it out.
The past 5 weeks, talk about a soft. This is such a soft schedule. I mean, we talked about it the whole year.
Yeah, we did. Let's do one more. NFC South, of course. Oh, what a division it is. The Bucks at 6-7 still in the lead. And again, if you go back, shouldn't have beaten the Rams on that Brady comeback late. Shouldn't have won again, of course, this past week, or the week before, rather, and then unbelievable comeback against the Saints. There was that earlier game against the Saints they probably shouldn't have won. I mean, 6-7. The only other team to control their own destiny here is the Panthers. Everybody else needs help, even though the Falcons are only one back and appear to be going to Desmond Ridder, based on reports. Saints are two back.
Staring at this graphic.
Panthers 3-1, right? No?
I can't get there.
Can't get there?
I can't get there. I just don't have the belief. Nor would I ever lay 280 with the Bucks.
No, you're definitely not doing
that. No, but what's really frustrating me, though, Gil, is that the Saints still refuse to bring out Jameis Winston.
Refuse.
When you're still alive for this division somehow.
What is he thinking?
I have no idea. I would be furious. Well, and Andy Dalton has been terrible.
Panthers' remaining schedule. Home Pittsburgh, home Detroit, at Tampa, at New Orleans. Whew. That looks pretty good to me. Tampa's remaining schedule. Home Cincy. Loss. At Arizona, home Carolina, at Atlanta. 3-1? On a little four-week stretch of a bet? That might be the best. Let's put it this way. Of the three divisions we went through, is that the best bet on the board? Not saying you have to make it, but is that the best bet? Panthers 3-1. I would say yes.
And Pro tip.
And a pro tip. The pro tip is, well,
Panthers would be the best remaining division bet.
That is your pro tip of the hour. One every show, every hour. That's at least 20 a day for VSiN Pro subscribers at VSiN.com. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.